G'day everyone, it's Ian here in the land of Oz, heading down to the river to have another little stroll on this fine spring evening. It's been a very warm day today. Some westerly winds from far out west have been blowing over town and it's pushed the temperature up high. Dry, hot, desert heat blowing over Brisbane. It's cooled down now into the evening, but it was very warm this afternoon when the change came through, and we're expecting some very warm days over the next few days, but we've got a little bit of a respite at the moment at least. But that's not what I want to talk about today. What I want to talk about is something that's bubbled up a little bit for me in the last couple of days. My dad's under the weather again. Dad's 80 years old, so he's not a young sparrow anymore. And he's been doing it pretty tough for the last couple of days. His shoulder's frozen up, and he gave me a call yesterday, and he'd had a really rough night on Sunday night. Monday he gave me a call, like I said, and I took him to the hospital, and he got a cortisone injection. And it seems now, 36 hours later, it's starting to have some impact and starting to make him feel a little bit more comfortable. And it all should be okay in a few days and he should recover. I've spoken to him this evening. I stayed overnight with him last night and had an incredibly uncomfortable night. I couldn't do anything for him and he was moaning and groaning all night long. But I think he liked having me there, just knowing that I was there in case something went completely pear-shaped. But I felt as useful as tits on a bull because I couldn't do anything to assist him and it was just uncomfortable for me and he was dealing with it. And part of the reason why it's all a bit awkward is because Dad is belligerently independent. He is utterly, ruthlessly dogmatic, just terribly, terribly independent. And he's always been that way. And he hasn't had an easy life. He hasn't had a good life. He hasn't looked after himself. He's been a smoker and a pretty heavy drinker his whole life. And hasn't necessarily had the best diet. When he was 51, he had a triple bypass. And he's had some pretty significant health problems from about 50 years of age onwards because he went so damn hard when he was in his youth. And it's been a good lesson for me. You know, it's one reason why I work so diligently at keeping my health in order. But he's still brutally independent, and his attitude has always been, well, you've got to die at something, you know, like you might as well still have a good life. Yeah, that's good, Dad. And I don't want any assistance, I don't want any help. You know, I can look after this myself, I'll look after my own medication, I'll look after going to the doctor, I'll look after everything. And like I said, he's belligerently independent, but part of the problem is now at 80 years of age, the chickens are coming home to roost. And he, as much as he wants to be independent, it's starting to turn. And he can't actually do it himself now. And he's having to rely on other people to assist him. Because, unbeknown to him, he didn't die at 65. And he's gone on. And he's gone on to develop frailties, which have meant that the wanton excesses of his youth have to be now dealt with. The ferryman has to be paid, and he unfortunately doesn't have now the ability to look after himself, to get himself to the doctor and the hospital and things like this. So it's now falling on to family members to assist him. And that's what family does. At least he's still here. And it sort of brings up a double-edged sword, I think. And it's something I want to reference to in regards to the way society cares for people within it and our own personal responsibilities. At heart, I reckon I'm a socialist. I believe in the social welfare net and looking after people when they fall. In my last audio boo, I told you about where I was when I came back from Berlin last year. And part of that meant that I was doing it so tough financially, I went on the dole for the first time in my life for about a month, 2 months actually. And I tell you, it was, I was so, so grateful that the system could give me a few hundred dollars every fortnight to help tide me over until I got back up on my feet. And that's what the social network's for, to assist you when you zig instead of zag and you need a little bit of assistance. And I think everybody goes through it at some stage in their life. It doesn't matter how independent you want to be. Little things will happen and you'll have to rely on the system to support you. And a lot of people don't appreciate the fact that they're already doing it. The infrastructure that's around us, all the support systems, everything from the fact that you can travel on roads and aircraft and you have services to bring supplies to you and take waste away from you, the whole human infrastructure supports us and we have to support it. We support it monetarily, but we also support it through the systems that we're involved in, the activities that we do within our society, and a lot of that can be our professional activities. And I see people who struggle with some aspects of this, those who are fortunate, the 1% who do very well, or those who buy into that model, the manifest destiny that the American system is particularly built on, who push back against socialism. And I don't mean communism here. I don't mean that extreme form. I mean socialism where people are supported when times are tough. The appropriate version, the more Northern European version. When people buy into that whole American model, they're saying that I am okay, I am smart enough, clever enough, witty enough, whatever, you know, they actually think that they have some control over it, that has enabled them to be able to create their own little microcosm that gives them opportunities whereby they can unplug from society and they don't need to participate because they're one of the fortunate few. Some of them are, some of them are the 1%, and they can hire the guards and the nurses to look after them, and some of them believe that they're going to be the 1% one day. And very, very few of them ever do. But the reality is you don't get those opportunities most of the time. Most, we all, even those 1%, rely on the systems around them and around us to be able to do everything that we do. And I was listening to Phil Sorrell's audio boo about his accident recently. You know Phil as Daylight Gambler. And he's been involved in a little bit of an accident. And I was reflecting on what he has done in regards to that. And it shouldn't be taken too lightly what he told us about. And I like the fact that he didn't make a big deal about it. He described it in good storytelling style, what happened to him. But basically, he was sitting in the bus and a truck came up beside the bus and the trailer smashed through the window and smacked him in the back and pushed him around a bit. And he got a little bit of bruising and a little bit of a light graze and his jacket got completely trashed. And all for the fact that he zigged and he could have zagged meant that he bounced instead of went splat. And really, that's the way it is. He was very, very lucky. And he's made relative light of it, but it could have been a complete disaster. He could have had his head ripped open or knocked off or something, and it could have been a complete tragedy. And we would have heard an echo on Daylight Gambler's channel because he wouldn't be there anymore. But it wasn't. It all turned out okay. And he mentioned that a few people said, yeah, you should go them. You know, the whole no win, no fee situation with solicitors. And he said, no, he doesn't want to buy into that. And I so agree with that. That is so cool. You know, okay, sure, you know, a little bit of stress, a little bit of awkwardness, you know, maybe some medical expenses, which he may or may not get reimbursed for. But hey, that's life. That's the way I see it. Shit happens to all of us from time to time. Sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's not as bad. But we all have a little bit of stuff go down in our life. And it was one of the things that I learned from my skydiving days. I took up skydiving when I was only 17. So it was very much my formative years, and it taught me at a significant level about responsibility. Responsibility to myself, but also responsibility to those who I was in care of, because I was became an instructor by the time I was 19, so I was looking after people who were quite a bit older than me and throwing them out of aeroplanes and doing it in such a way that hopefully they didn't get hurt. And occasionally they did. Occasionally an ankle was broken or a leg or, you know, little, you know, injuries, and you just sort of go, well, you know, shit happens, buddy. You know, that's the way it is. You know, I gave you all the information so you didn't hurt yourself and you broke a rule. Excuse me. But that's the point I'm making. Life is dangerous, and occasionally things go pear-shaped. And when they do go pear-shaped, it's so good to have systems around us that will help you out. Here in Australia, we have a public health system that will look after you. If you can't afford your own private health insurance, you'll support it. Even if you do have your own private health insurance, a lot of stuff is looked after by the government anyway. It comes out of our taxes. I know there are some countries, I'm looking at you, USA, who doesn't believe in that. Bad luck, you miss out. I think it's a wonderful system, and it supports those people who do it tough. And occasionally gets abused. Nah, oh well, you know. We can afford to allow a little bit of abuse, and you know, it doesn't really cripple the system. But also, I admire people like Phil who just suck it up and don't abuse the situation. At work recently, we've had some guys who've, you know, had long-term issues that have developed because of their work situation, and basically, you know, they're leaning on workers' compensation to sort out the problems. Now, you're in a bit of a grey zone. You know, it was maybe work-related, but it's something that developed over 30 or 40 years. Do you impact the business that you're currently working for? Or, yeah. Do you lean on the workers' comp system to fix that problem? It's a difficult situation. Do you just suck it up as part of the ageing process and the fact that you happen to work in certain careers that cause these issues? Phil didn't go down the path of suing for distress because he got lucky. He didn't get harmed, and he walked away from it quite well. And I admire that. I think that's very much the attitude of, I'm responsible for the way I live my life. I will do everything I can not to get harmed. But if shit goes down, hey, it's good to have a system around us that helps to support us. And if it's just a minor little incident, I'm not going to scream like a little kid and run off to my mummy's breast for support. I'm going to suck it up like a man and actually get on with my life. At the end of the day, I really firmly believe this, life is dangerous. You get out there and you live it, and occasionally shit hits the fan. And I'll tell you about my sister at some stage who died tragically in a horse riding accident. You know, sometimes shit goes down and it's not good. But hey, what's the alternative? Be some sort of soft-footed wimp who doesn't participate in life, who doesn't do things and get out there and mix it with the best of them. Risk getting hurt. Actually get hurt. You know, what's the alternative? The alternative is stay in bed wrapped up in cotton wool. And the crazy thing is, if you do that, you'll probably end up dying of bed sores anyway. So, I've been thinking a lot about responsibility. Responsibility to self and responsibility to others. My dad's now at an age where his responsibilities are having to be handed, his own self-responsibilities, is probably a better way to put it, are being handed on to other people. Because he's just getting too old, and we have to supply him with the safety net to look after him, despite the fact that he was belligerent in not allowing it in past years. And that's going to be a challenge for both he and us to give him that care, and for him to allow us to give him that care. There's a lot to be said for respectfully allowing people to look after you when it's appropriate, and not abusing the situation, as Phil has shown us with his little incident. I think that's all I need to say at the moment. Hope you're having a great day. It's beautiful down here by the river. Wherever you are, get out there and live your life. Enjoy it. Take a few risks. and look after each other. Bye-bye for now.